Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. The Sunday Roast presents 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. We're joined by Professor Richard Conroy, Chairman, and Kevin McNulty, Senior Geologist of Conroy Gold and Natural Resources. Merry Christmas, gents.
And to you.
Merry Christmas.
So 2023 has been quite the year for Conroy Gold. You've had the joint venture with Damir Export for gold mine development in Ireland, discovery of second district scale gold trend in Longford Down Massif, exciting drilling results, including 40 metres at 1.2 grams per tonne of gold at Clay Lake gold target, continuity between Clontibret gold deposit and Corcaskay gold target, visible gold and gold assays up to 123 grams per tonne of gold at Creamkill, which we have witnessed. Are you optimistic about the ongoing progress, Professor Conroy?
Very optimistic. We've had a great year and we're hoping we'll have an even better one this coming year. I think it's fair to say, really motoring. And we're very, very pleased with the results and with the progress and with our joint venture partner, who's now spent pretty considerable sums of money, probably about close to $6 million at this stage. That will in turn lead into the second phase, which will probably involve approximately the same expenditure, possibly slightly more, depending upon how things are going. So it's been a great year for us, but we're looking forward to an even better year coming up now.
So, Kevin, from a geologist's point of view, give us the lowdown on what we have in 2023 and probably long before 2023, obviously, in terms of Clontibret, Clay Lake, the fact that you've discovered a new trend as well. So just give us your overview on Conroy Gold.
Certainly, Kevin. Thanks very much. Yeah, no, it's been, as you said, a very exciting year. As you're aware, we already had discovered a gold trend in the Longford Down Massif, which consisted of the Clay Lake target, the Clontibret target, the Glenish target, and then going down through Tully Vin, Rock Corrie, down to Slieve Blat. But we sort of really advanced some of those areas now. You know, on Clontibret, on a small portion of Clontibret, we have a resource already established of just over 500,000 ounces at a 2 gram a ton grade and a 1 gram a ton cutoff. But outside that, we've been sort of slowly but surely building towards the Corcaskee area. And we know this is a pretty exciting area because we're seeing about 16.5 meters there, 6.5 grams a ton in some trenching that was being done up there. So it's pretty exciting. But in some of the work that we did in January, we started to build towards that. Where we got, 8.3 grams a ton over half a meter, showing there's good continuity of gold outside the resource area, which is key for us being able to expand that resource and to grow it going forward. But as you also pointed out, we had some pretty exciting news in the Creamkill area, where we discovered outcrop with lots of visible gold in it, 223 grams a ton. And as you saw, some of those samples were totally peppered with gold. And when you put them up to the sunlight, they really sparkled and hit you in the eye. It was pretty incredible. And that's the first time we've actually seen pure visible gold in any of the rocks in our area. So as I say, it's pretty exciting. But following on from the work there, we've also now established a new 24-kilometer gold trend that stretches from the Creamkill area and through to our Brox target area as well. We have under license. We've taken out that ground all under license. Our licenses are great. We can keep the licenses indefinitely as long as we meet the minimum work commitments. And having our joint venture partners is brilliant because we've got funds to spend on each of these different areas and really advance these projects and start to spend the type of funds we really wanted to in the past but hadn't been able to. And that can be seen particularly like in places like Clay Lake, where we've started to do some step-out drilling there. We're doing this new drilling of over 2,000 metres. But that first hole in the step-out drilling where we got 40.5 metres at 1.2 grams a tonne. And then even our news release that we just released there, where we're seeing that quite wide intersection of 41.5 metres at 0.5 grams a tonne. It's pretty good, and that extends at both ends. That sort of was the last one was to the northeast, and the previous one was to the southwest. So we're really starting to build some ounces, I would think.
Can you give people an idea of the magnitude of Clay Lake? Because that was That was the thing, I think, that sort of stood out for me when we visited the island there, you know, a couple of months ago. So just give us an idea of the magnitude and how big a resource clearly could possibly be. We're not saying it's going to be, but based on the drilling, how big do we think it could be?
I think it could be pretty big. And I suppose an example I could give you is a mine I worked on in Ghana, the Teberebie gold mine. That was the second biggest gold producer outside South Africa at the time. We were producing about 350,000 ounces of gold per annum. The grades on that mine range from between 1 to 1.5 grams a ton, and the mining widths range from 10 to 25 meters. Okay, and the length of that strike of that deposit, the length of it was about 3 kilometers long. The overall clay lake anomaly is 3 kilometers long, so it's similar length, but it is up to 2 kilometers wide. And we're getting very significant intersections in that area. As I said, when you're talking 40.5 meters at 1.2 grams a ton, you really are in the ballparks of world-class deposits of areas. And again, we have the longest gold intersection in the British Isles, as far as we're aware, drilled there, where we had over 100 meters at 0.5 grams a ton. But that included, you know, zones of 10 meters at 1.5 and another zone of 11 meters at well over a gram as well. So you have grades within that as well and very wide zones of mineralization. And it's those wide zones that make it very amenable to, because it totally reduces your strip ratio, improves the economics of any type of deposit going forward.
So if you had a deposit, obviously it hasn't been assessed yet, but if you had a deposit that is 3 kilometers long, and a place is 2 kilometers long, so let's be zealous and say it's only 1 kilometer in terms of what it is, and you went down 200 meters in an open pit, how much tonnage is in that ground?
World-class, basically. You're looking at a world-class deposit. And that's why we have the joint venture partners we have in here. And that's why previously other majors came to look at us, because we have identified very significant targets, not only the Clay Lake area, but also along the whole entire trend. And now we even have a second trend identified. But yeah, as I said, these are the Clay Lake type of target is in a, what I would see it as, a world-class scale.
Okay, and how are DEMIRE reacting to what's going on, and what do you think going forward in 2024 is sort of your and the plan for Clay Lake for the other targets?
Well, we're about halfway through the program of the 2,000 meters, so we've still got a series of holes still to drill there. So I think that's pretty exciting. I think they seem to be pretty happy with what we're getting there. And as I say, you know, I can't see why they wouldn't be when we're getting the results we're getting. But yeah, no, it's really good. So, and then obviously they do want to test a little bit of the base metal areas as well.
Indeed.
And again, we're sort of doing some other areas like the very exciting Crean Kill. We'll probably be looking at that a bit more. And Clontibert as well, I'm sure we'll be looking at it in a bit more details. I don't know, Richard, you got any?
Well, we have the potential in Clay Lake, possible world-class deposit.
Yeah.
Very, very serious on it. And as well as that, Clontibert is starting to be sniffed at. There's 500,000 ounces already there, and it extends outside it. And as well as that, of course, we have two gold zones now, and one year discovery of the Skull Martin trend, as well as the Erlik pit. And at the same time, we control the entire acreage, over 1,000 ground. So we're in an extraordinarily strong position. Really don't know any other exploration company which has the same as we have. And I think you mentioned majors coming to see us. I think that's what almost takes them aback,
yeah,
that we have such control over the acreage.
Yeah, 65-kilometer gold trend, 24-kilometer gold trend, gold-proven series of the areas, and visible gold in even one of the targets up to 123 grams a ton.
So one of the questions that has been kept cropping up in chats when we've been discussing this on different forms of social media is, when could we expect some form of JORC on Clay Lake, and when could we expect some sort of increase in the JORC on Clontibert? What's your thoughts on that, Kevin?
Well, I think we're building towards the bringing together a JORC resource in Clay Lake. As I said, we're doing the drilling needed at the moment, the step out drilling that is necessary to start to look at building a resource there. We'll have to decide on, you know, will another phase of step out drilling be better for us, more beneficial for us, before we do a JORC resource there. But certainly, you know, we are building towards that at the moment with our step out drilling. And we can see, you know, that we've already stepped out, you know, 200 meters from previous drilling in both directions, and we'll probably extend that again just to start to build up reasonable figures that Demir would be looking at for that area. Clontibret, again, we're sort of working towards that, and we have, I suppose, identified new zones with the Clontibret areas where we've been drilling, and we're starting to put some of that data together. And again, we would also be looking, we want to drill deeper in Clontibret as well, because we believe there's potential at depth in Clontibret. Most of the drilling that we've done in Clontibret is very shallow, goes up to about 150 meters in depth and be our average. But we believe there is good potential at depth, and that's some of the things we're looking at going forward, I think, as well.
So can investors anticipate a JORC, either Clear Lake or an increase in Tribut during 2024? Is this something that is on the list of things to tick, hopefully, that we will get this?
I think, well, that's overdue, but I think we're the situation in which we have indeed almost a superabundance of targets. As someone was saying to me, I said at BDEC last year, we're totally under the radar, but we're in a situation in which we have 100% of Miller joint venture partner coming in, and we have one an established JORC resource of 500,000 ounces, not to be sniffed, and obviously much bigger than that. And then as well as that, quite apart from other targets, we have this Clay Lake property. That's going to require a lot of work on it, but it's very serious when you start talking about 2 kilometers long and 1 kilometer wide and are getting the sort of intersections that Kevin and his colleagues are coming up with. You're beginning to look at something, early days yet, but you're certainly beginning to look at something that could be very large indeed. So we're very happy that way, I think, and it's going to be a very exciting year for us and hopefully for the investors as well. And it just hasn't, it's still, as I say, very much, I think, under the radar at present. But at some stage or other, it won't be just the Demir exports to the major companies, gold companies, that will begin to cotton onto this. I think you'll see people beginning to do a few figures on the back of the envelope, as it were, and they do come to fairly good figures.
Yeah, I mean, Clay Lake on its own has got to be millions of ounces if you continue to prove this amount of drilling. Is that fair to say or not, or am I just talking rubbish?
It's certainly what we'll be targeting.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, if you have a huge deposit, or not a huge deposit, a huge amount of ore into probably, from what you're talking about, you know, billions of tons possibly of ore, then from that at a 1% or 1 gram per ton gold, this is going to be an awful lot of gold.
Quite a lot, yeah, indeed. No, from a financial and corporate point of view, it's certainly been tremendous. It's been a huge amount of work done by Captain and his colleagues over several years now to bring us to this stage. Without their work, we wouldn't have 1,000 square kilometers. We wouldn't have the discovery of 2 entire new gold zones, and we wouldn't have the series of targets that we have potential. There's a degree of luck in it as well, but most of it has been good, solid, hard work by Kevin and his team of geologists looking at it, and our various consultants and so on. But certainly, we're in an extraordinarily strong position. As well as that, as Kevin was saying, we have a joint venture partner with more than adequate financial resources and, quite honest, others interested as well. So we're in a very, very good position. And in terms of the joint venture itself, that is a very good joint venture. I don't think there are many joint ventures in which the junior partner is able to retain 42.5% in each of the mining projects. So thus, if Clay Lake goes ahead as a very major project, we'll be able to retain 42.5% of it, of a possible early days yet, no certainty yet, but nonetheless, it turns out to be a world-class ore body. You're talking quite serious money, even with Clontibret, and I say even. If you just work out the figures there, you're still looking at something very, very important indeed. But multiply that up a few times for Clay Lake, we're in a very good position. And as well as that, as Kevin was saying, a whole series of other targets. And one of the nice things, indeed, for this annual report, if I'm allowed to hold it up, it shows on it and has on it gold, visible gold.
Visible gold, I can see that.
And that's gold that Kevin and his colleagues have discovered. And the actual grade there, and I'm no geologist, but he and his colleagues are, but even for me as a non-geologist, to have a grade of 4 ounces a ton on 23 grams a ton, that is some grade to be reporting. So this is all, I think, largely under the radar. Very understandably so, because for the last 10, 15 years, Kevin and his colleagues have been working away, and Maureen and myself, keeping things going. Not easy to do, but look at where we've got to. And that's why I say we've had a great year, and we're hoping for an even greater one next year. We're very, very good financially as well.
Yeah, I was just looking at the different phases, because obviously you alluded to earlier on, I think you said there's circa $6 million been spent within the first phase of the drilling. Yeah. And obviously their commitments were like €5.5 million to earn the 25% interest. So how far do you think we are into that phase? Would you say we're kind of halfway through phase one now?
I'm halfway through. No, they'll have spent at this stage, I give a bit one way or another, but in the region of first the initial $1 million that they paid to come into the project, spent approximately probably about $4.5 million on top of that in actual work that's gone directly into the ground. And we made use of the million as well. And there's probably about another $500,000 or so to be spent. It'll come out certainly more than the $5.5 million that's mentioned there.
So they've satisfied their commitment. So. And also, it's also worth just reiterating for listeners that they're also covering the cost of, you know, the operating, you know, just go through what they are.
90% of the costs done on the place where you visited, the actual core structures and so on there. They pay 100% of the drilling costs, the assay costs and so on. And yes, at the same time, we at the end of it all, for each project, can retain over 40%. It's a good deal by any standards, with the fact that we have already Clay Lake have contemporaries, 500,000 ounces, and obviously more to come, and the possibility of a world-class ore body. It's a pretty good position. Taken a long time, and I can understand people talking and say, I've heard the story before. The story that they heard before is, this is the position we hoped to get to. Now we've got to it, and it's just a question of how big is it? How many are there?
So really looking at the market cap really of 7 million, it's not really factoring any value into much of the assets. If you look at 6 million spent on this project, on just one of the areas really, the phase one, and we're at 7 mil cap, I mean, there's nothing really factored into the share price.
Not sure. I don't think people just take it on board, and one can understand that, and one has seen it before on a much smaller scale where we made a major discovery. It was, you know, all the news releases were out there. It was all in the public domain. We had a share price in that company about 20p or so. And then not people here in this area, but some Canadians from Vancouver, where they're really interested, they began to come in and they got in below 100p. And that share price, and you can never guarantee what a share price is going to do up or down, but that share price went from 23p to £7.50. And yet it is much smaller. It's okay, a single world-class zinc ore body. This is an entire gold district in which there are two gold zones and a whole series of targets. There's no comparison between the two and the potential for that, but it's certainly not recognized as yet. And I think one of the reasons it isn't recognized is the fact that we've been issuing news releases up until now, talking about what we're doing, gradually progressing with it. Now it's all come together in a far larger scale than even we could have hoped. We've got a joint venture partner in with abundant financial resources, and yet at the same time, we're retaining a big chunk for ourselves.
Indeed. Kevin, there is absolutely no doubt, Professor Conroy, in my mind anyway, that this is significantly undervalued. But Kevin, I have just one more geological question for you. Sure. You found this other trend.
Yep.
And they are pretty close. They're not like in geological terms, they're not hundreds of miles apart.
Correct.
So what has happened here, do you think, geologically, for these two strike lengths to appear? Have we had one very big intrusion in one place and a smaller one somewhere else in terms of the crack, or what has happened? Sorry, I know that's not a very technically asked question, but you understand what I'm trying to say.
Fracture would probably be a better word.
Okay, yeah, fracture, but you understand what I'm getting at anyway.
Yeah, I do. It's basically you have these deep-seated structures. So you have the Orlock Bridge fault, which is these deep-seated faults, and then you have the Skulmartin fault zone. And basically, as part of the orogeny, so this is our orogenic gold deposit, you have the collision, closure of the Apodos Ocean, but then the fluids that are taken down are coming up these structures, and they're bringing the gold mineralization up these primary structures. And depositing, particularly in flexures along these major structures. So we can see basically along the Auroch Ridge Fault. Everywhere, every time we get a major flexure, so at Clay Lake, Clontibber, Glenish, and so on, all the way down towards Slieve Glau, which is quite a significant flexure down there, and a series of cross-cutting faults. And then down in this area where we're looking at this new area. And again, each of these areas is gold coming to surface. It's not 100 meters below surface or 200 meters below surface. We've gold in bedrock, which you could step on, physically hammer, and look at. But down in Creamkill, as I say, we were very surprised at the grades getting down there, 123 grams a ton in the grab samples there. But again, we trenched across that outcrop. We got, was it 64 grams a ton over a meter section through there, and some nice mineralization around that, and starting to see some mineralization along strike from that area. And then we did some more work down the box area, and we saw a new anomaly, which is still open, which we want to do.
This on the Skull Martin trend.
This is on the Skull Martin trend, yeah, which on the new 24-kilometer trend. But again, in that box licensed area, we want to do some more work on that to start to close off that anomaly and actually see if there's more gold, physical gold there. And in Creamkill, there's lots of anomalies outside where the outcrop is that we haven't even done much work on. So we've got lots of testing still to do in that area. But yeah, no, it's significant. It's these structures, basically, are being used as a conduit to bring the gold mineralization up through. Could there be more of these structures in the area? Possibly. We're still...
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I say, do these things come in threes or fours or fives? Or we don't know, really,
We don't know.
We have so much already.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think people, without quoting numbers, I think you did a feasibility study type scenario where it was... in the 20s of millions of ounces of gold. Now, obviously, there's nobody can hang their hat on that, because that's just an exploratory target, I think it was called.
But it was done by quite a very reputable individual, Professor Garth Earls.
Yeah.
Garth's background, as you probably know, is exceptional. You don't get many individuals of that quality.
Yeah, so he wasn't just guessing when he was talking about that. Now, the reality is, if that comes to fruition, 20 million ounces, how much is Conroy's 40% or 42.5% worth?
Not quite serious sums. We've been involved in...
But when you say serious sums, Professor Conroy, how much are we talking about?
So big. The figures, quite frankly, become so big one's almost... reluctant to suggest them, but you are running into very serious figures. We've already been involved in two major discoveries, the zinc discovery that I was just referring to, and of course the Pogo gold discovery out in Alaska, which is a world-class gold mine, is continuing to function. Both of those pale into significance compared with the potential, both from a technical point of view of ounces and then in turn of the actual return. Gold is hanging around $1,900 an ounce, which has gone slightly above that. And looked at a feasibility study, you've seen that we're looking at our actual operating costs and capex costs for Clontibber alone. You're looking at very serious figures. At this stage, it's
20 million ounces of gold. 20 million ounces of gold at the current 1950, I've said, as an average price.
Yeah.
$39 billion.
That's right. And even if you knock off, shall we say, half of that for your production costs, you've still got quite a good return, a huge return.
Quite a good return.
Could be transformational for this company.
Yes, no, if you knock off half of it.
Could be, because we've a lot already. Could be.
But that was done before we discovered this market.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. No, if you go $19.5 billion, and then 40% of 42.5% of that, you're basically looking at Conroy's part of that being 8.3 billion, and you have a market cap of £7 million. So good luck, and I hope it all comes to fruition, because we'll be on a beach somewhere if it does, and I'll be very happy. So the scenario with our Christmas questions is both to Professor Conroy and to Kevin. What is the most exotic, strangest, weirdest place you've ever spent Christmas Day on?
Ghana, for me, Ghana.
Ghana. So that would be Southern Hemisphere, so it would have been nice, warm weather. What were you doing? What did your Christmas Day consist of?
I was on the beach, Cape Coast, Ghana.
On the beach, sounds like
having a
plan.
A couple of beers.
And what about you, Professor Conroy?
Northern Thailand, above Chiang Mai, and the roads stopped there, and you have to travel by elephant. That was some experience.
Hannibal, was it? Hannibal through the mountains.
Hannibal through the mountains is right. Very good. Well, I mean, there isn't any doubt in my mind that this company is onto something. We've seen it visibly ourselves. I think Clay Lake, you know, probably overused word, but I think it's going to be a monster resource, to be honest. I think as you step out, it's going to get bigger and bigger. Doesn't even need to get better as in grams per ton. It just needs to be there as stock work, as, you know, the whole process. And then you've got the thing that we haven't talked about, which is at depth in all of these places. And then the 20 million we talked about in terms of ounces was without the new gold district or the new gold strike, which is 24 kilometers long and has visible gold. So people are going to catch on one of these days, I think. And, you know, let's hope we get a lot more shares before they catch on. But let's see what happens. What about your Christmas question, Phil?
I think we've done it before. Basically, what's the best present you've either ever given or received, really?
That's a tricky one.
Oh, I've got to make them hard. I want to make you think, Kevin.
Yeah, best present, I suppose, is my children, of course. Having my children for my wife, that's probably the best present I've ever had. Like, sort of,
certainly make sure your wife listens to this, Kevin. You just got yourself a few points there.
I love getting results. I like when I see drill results come in and things like that, and I see some of the results that have come in. Like when the 123 grams a ton came in, that was nice to see that.
Nice present,
for sure. And what about you, Richard? Any the best present? Not necessarily received, but maybe you've given. Bicycle.
I'm getting a bicycle. That was absolutely fantastic. You suddenly found the mobility. Instead of walking somewhere, running somewhere, you could cycle miles, which I did up to the mountains and so on. It was really tremendous. Yeah. But I must say, what we're seeing now is quite a pleasant Christmas present as well. Well, thank Kevin and his colleagues for that.
Absolutely. Brilliant. Well, on that note, I think we'll say thanks very much for your time. And we hope 2024 is a fruitful year for the company going forward. And, we look forward to updating the market in the near future. So we'll just leave it to say, Professor Richard Conroy and Kevin McNulty of Conroy Gold and Natural Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Very welcome. Thank you. Christmas and New Year too.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you, gentlemen.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.